Oh, I forgot about that.
Okay,
Are you ready, Paul?
Sure.
Next item on the workshop is the item B, which is CPA 2013-8, comprehensive plan text amendments. We have land use, housing, and economic development. And I'm going to ask a favor, Paul, if we can hold off on the economic development.
Yes.
Item tonight, since there was very little to no change on the document that I see from the last document. And plus, Jeff is not here tonight to ask questions or make any suggestions on it. So is that feasible to hold off on that?
Absolutely, I agree.
Okay, so can we move on then? And we can go through which the one you have up here. We can go through the land use.
Land use. Okay.
Commissioners, does anybody have any problems with that request?
The only concern I would have is how putting off any discussion of the economic development element fits into our schedule, which is obviously getting increasingly tight. And perhaps we want to talk about that at the end of the meeting as to whether we should be scheduling an additional meeting. I did read that, and you're right, there's a huge amount of work that needs to be done.
That was my summation. Let's do that. We'll talk about if we need to do that. And Paul, you're going to have to, we're going to leave that to you to make that determination, whether it's something that you guys can handle or we need to have another meeting. Think about that.
I think we can collectively judge where we're at, and we do have at this point a workshop scheduled for the 28th. We can talk about it later. Well, in the latest, this land use element is probably 98% there. Since the last draft, we did incorporate information from the natural environment element. It's going to be several pages. And, there's quite a bit of material in the goals and policy section pulled from that chapter as well. It's a bit of a difficult exercise to determine how much of that should be brought forth since we're removing the natural environment element. And this is what we came up with in terms of transferring information. The rest of it is we tried to fill in the section, this inventory and analysis section, which has been incomplete for the last several meetings. A couple of quick things. I did notice that I'd come across in a few places some errors from the current comp plan in some of the data that was in the current comp plan. And I noticed that looking through this recently, a couple of places where there's some minor inconsistencies in the numbers in the text and the table, so we've got some of that screaming out. But the basic information is there. In terms of the later part, like pages 32, 33, 34, talks about the residential land supply.
Are you talking about the red line?
The red copy? Line. Okay. Yes, I'm in attachment one.
Okay.
Up to this point, we didn't have any hard numbers in here from the buildable land report from 2012, and then on page 32, jump to that. The table 3 on the top of the page lists the categories of land in the buildable land report, how that's put together, and it's basically buildable acres, available buildable acres by zoning category, and this is within the city limits, table 3. And you'll see quite a bit of land in that first column, 424 acres within the city, which seems like at first glance, seemed like a fairly high number. I did a little bit of back-checking, but what that includes, buildable area, well, I think actually there's a footnote, the first footnote down below. It does allow reductions for critical areas, and the last 3 asterisk footnote is that it includes pending units, which would be projects that are in the pipeline. This is a 2011 data, but it also includes redevelopable areas. If there's a land that has the potential to be further split, and a five acre piece of ground that's zoned UR6000 for some such case like that, has a additional capacity for more units, and that comes into play in the pending and in the additional capacity for these land areas. So it's a little misleading until you realize that it includes not just vacant complete parcels, it's also redevelopment parcels and pending projects. Mm-hmm. But bottom line is that we have capacity, this would be through 2025, not 35, but 25, about 1,600 units. And we have about 4,000 projected population. And then, again, that's for 2025. And a similar table for the UGA area, the unincorporated parts of the UGA area. What it comes down to is that between, well, let's just jump to, where is it? Page 34, table 5. Within the city limits and within the UGA, they each have a shortage of about 900 people. Total about 1,800 people that we do not have the capacity for in our buildable land estimate of that 1,600 units and how many people that will house. Monroe has actually the highest persons per household in the county. We're at about 2.96. Significantly above most of the jurisdictions. They range all the way down to below 2.5. But what that translates to is that for 2025, we're short about 600 units, housing units. Now, back in the last report, 2007, we've been using a shortage of capacity of about 1,000 units and about 2,500 people, 2.5 people per household. But now it's for 2025, in the last few years, that has changed, and the amounts of the available land have changed, and the shortage is actually less. But when you project further out to 2035, which will really come up much more clearly in the 2015 update, then we're going to be quite a bit more short of population versus capacity.
Commissioner Demarest?
Paul, thank you for jumping right to the heart of this, at least one of the hearts of it. Because I looked at these numbers and I got confused, and I'm still confused. To summarize what I'm seeing, top of page 32, saying that we're going to have additional, we've got potential added population in the incorporated limits of 3,980 people, right? That's table 3,
LU3. Right, the last column.
Uh-huh. We go to the bottom of that same page, and we look at the unincorporated UGA. It says we have potential capacity of 1,997 people.
That's 6,000. Okay.
Are you with me? I add those two together, I get a population potential in those two areas of 5,976 people. Okay?
And you're leading to the inconsistency of it.
Well, I am, as a matter of fact. I go over to the next page, table LU5, 54, depending on how we read that red line there, that says we're going to have a 2035 population forecast of an increase of 6,313 people.
35, okay.
Between the UGA and the incorporated and unincorporated areas of the UGA. If I take the 6,313 minus the 5,976, that leaves me with 337 people not having any place to live. And then if we take your 2.9, all of a sudden we're about probably 110 houses, not 600 houses.
Yeah, I think part of the problem here is I need to straighten out some consistency between 2025 and 2035. I think that's part of the problem.
So my confusion is understandable?
Oh, yes.
Good, it's not just a state of mind.
There's what I'm trying to get back through this to do is to find inconsistencies like that, because I know there's at least a couple more.
Paul, are these documents, these tables, are these in a format to where they can be linked to each other? You don't have the inconsistencies because you change one,
right,
and then the other table changes along with it?
No, unfortunately, it's the original setup of this is really combobulated.
It sure would make it a lot easier to handle.
Yes,
not
it
only
would.
This time, but way down the road, every time something changes.
You struggle with that quite a bit in the integrity of the data, much less the way that it's assembled in the past. But
it changes every day.
Now, if you ever get a student in here that's looking for some work,
an internship,
we know a lot more than somebody like
this
me.
This is something that could be started on, is to get these tables into a format where they can be linked.
Like table 6 on page 34 and table 5 on page 33, they're not consistent.
But one is 2025, the other is 2035.
Right.
The text at the top of page 34, we talked about 2025. I don't know where we're at.
And I was afraid that was going to come up. Because I came to that realization last week that some of this was related to 25 and some of the 35. Obviously, I didn't catch all.
Yeah. So if we look at what's here in the way of numbers, it doesn't look as dire. As I see them. So more work.
Yes.
Is this going to be ready for prime time? We got one more meeting, right?
Before the public hearing, yeah. And then
unless we
have another workshop and public hearing, then another meeting after that.
Okay.
It's getting tight.
Commissioner Sherwood.
Well, my understanding is, or a big picture, we're trying to tweak these things to help the consultant give them direction for the work. And I wonder if, in that context, if these documents, obviously they should be as good as they can be, but I don't know that we have to put you through this torture because they're being paid to go through the torture that you are going through. Okay, you're going to be well paid to clean some of this up. So I think we need to make sure we understand that what we're doing here, this is not going to set our vision for Monroe's future for the next 20 plus years. All we're doing is we're trying to take some of the mold off of it so that they get a pretty fresh look at where we're at, what we're thinking, so that it just helps make them more efficient. Right.
We're trying to at least give them a better base to start from. And the 15 plan is going to be based on 2035.
Right.
And actually the population projections, the recent projections for 2035 and 2025 are less than they were back in 2005. That's something called that recession had quite an impact on population growth.
So I think we just need to see this in that perspective.
But I would like to...
obviously, we need a few things to be consistent, even cleaned up, simplified, whatever the case may be. But that these documents are not critical and crucial. That comes later, as I see it. If I misunderstand that, tell me so. And that's the way I see it. And I'd like to take some pressure off you and your staff in that regard. I don't know, not sure exactly how we do that, but these things don't need to be perfect because it's all going to be perfect anyways.
Yeah.
Right? And do I understand your context correctly?
But I also want to try and avoid as best we can some of those basic inconsistencies.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't take too long to get that, take much time to get that straightened out.
Commissioner Demers?
But it is also fair, Paul, to say, is it not, that this is going to be a controlling document for 2 years? In our comprehensive plan.
Year and a half. Yep.
And there's a big difference between a 100 unit shortfall and a 600 unit shortfall.
You know, the I think there's more problem with the table in on table 7 is more of a problem than table 7 on page 36. I'm thinking is more error than the table 6 on page 34. I need to put these 3 or 4 or 5 different tables together and do a manual consistency check, because there is some problems in here. And in fact, I noticed on page 36 that table is actually missing some numbers in the employment forecasts.
It says that's table 7 updated. What does that have to do with this table 7?
Oh, on the previous page. Okay. Table 7 is table 8. Table 8 is table 9. That's it. Cooking was late in the table numbers.
When you refer to table 6, that's
probably funny. Yeah, they're supposed to automatically label properly, but sometimes
this document is not that sophisticated. Unfortunately. It was prepared in 2004, basically, almost 10 years ago.
Okay, so you're going to work on getting the numbers for the tables?
Yes, I definitely want to do that.
If I may, I have one suggestion. As I was going through this particular document, the red line document, and going back and trying to refer to the map when you do the like downtown Monroe and all the different districts in there on the map, it's got a letter designation. it helped me to actually add that letter designation from the figure LU2 to each paragraph.
Each paragraph, yes.
Which helped me go back and forth and try and understand what district we were talking about.
Like North Kelsey area, area K.
Yes.
In the text.
Yeah, and all I did is I just added in parentheses.
Right.
To as a pointer.
That map's been a while in coming, but I like this map because it, at a glance, really defines where these areas are. Because someone who is not familiar with Monroe would have no idea.
It helped me, but the only question I had on that particular map was the gaps, the spaces in between some of these areas. And I was wondering if that was, you know.
They're not the subject of any specific planning areas.
Yeah. Right, and that's... The space this big and not part of any specific planning. Okay.
And really, it's the older, the older part of the city, the core area that really has no given identity, like, you know, like the North Kelsey or what's the residential area, Curry Road, West Main Corridor. There's a definite identity for the downtown area, but it's really lacking in these older residential areas that deserve the same kind of recognition on the map. They're not subject to very much change, but nonetheless, that's something I think is going to come out of this longer range plan, is to get a better pattern of identification for the entire city. Not leave these big blank areas.
Commissioner Demers, did you have one of them?
Well, maybe I
kind of interrupted or started speaking when you had the end of it.
No, but I would hope that we are going to go through this document page
to page. Okay. Is that what we want to do tonight? To go through this page? Starting with LU3.
Page 3. Start.
Do we have any on LU5? I don't know LU5 or on the land use in Monroe. First paragraph, 2500, should be a space between 2500 and July.
And just for what it's worth, those are not the sort of things that I'm going to comment on.
Okay.
I'm
trying to figure out where the line is drawn.
Yeah.
So, if that's not where we're going, then, because I got a lot of them. So,
if you have it marked up, I'd be happy to take a copy.
We usually catch
almost all of those in the review, you know, the spell check and so
right,
forth.
Right.
We'll always miss some.
Right. I mean, it was also in these things that I mentioned are also in the unwritten line, the clean version. So.
Okay. Well, I'm with you. I get rather anal in trying to find typos.
I
look at somebody else's work and I get points.
I was not aware of where my line was drawn. And I appreciate Commissioner Demarest pointing out that where my line should be.
I'd be happy to take your draft and make a copy. And
I can control those. I can do that. Okay, commissioners?
Five?
Six? Seven.
These sections are, we really did have red lines, so I elected not to give you the totally redline document like we have in the last couple meetings. Just the more recent changes. The document with that's the raw redline is pretty indecipherable. It's a lot of changes.
So our comments in the previous meetings are related to those previous edits have been incorporated?
Yes.
Okay. I get headaches.
Nine. You get nine too?
I do. But
future visions and issues down there. Old town says the highest density. I don't quite go along with that. But can you explain to me why they say that?
I think that, well, I'm not sure what the boundaries of old town are. I'm not making the point with that term. But what's driving that is the multifamily areas in the northwest part of the, I call it the core, you know, around Blueberry, east and west of there.
Oh.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to read the map from here, but the dark brown areas, that's what's driving that.
I was thinking more downtown.
The central area of the city.
Okay. And I would all disagree with that. If you're saying it's Blueberry, I'm thinking that my recollection is aimed more at Al Moreland now that has up to 20 units per acre allotted for it, which is a part of the old town area. Where Blueberry is not a part of the old town, that's relatively new. Blueberry came after Wayne did. But Old Town is Al Moreland, it's the area right around the old downtown commercial core.
Okay, so maybe Old Town is not the right word.
I think Old Town is reflected in the downtown suburbs plan.
Right.
It's four different zones.
It's really more identified with downtown as opposed to the western areas west of downtown.
Well, certainly, it didn't go west of Kelsey Street. It was post office, up to the railroad tracks, down south along both sides of Lewis, and eastward over into the old industrial area of town. Wayne, would that make sense?
Yeah.
And I think that's pretty well defined in the existing conditions and issues. Where it describes that old town area.
Okay, can we turn
that page? So my comment just pertained to the profile of the Monroe planning area. And to me, that language is where we're talking about the areas with current development concerns are shown first, followed by developed areas. It's nonsensical. It just, what are we trying to say there? Are we just wanting to use more space?
Okay, that's really, you know, I've had some problems with the organization of these neighborhoods, call them.
We're not prioritizing
it,
them.
It, to me, it didn't make a lot of sense as to how it flowed in terms of the order of each one. I didn't take on the task of trying to reorganize it the way I thought it should be.
It is what it is. We're describing the downtown or the areas, and that one sentence in that profile just
superfluous. I think that sentence needs to come out.
Jump.
That sounds good to everybody else now. I like that. Patrick says, use the conditions, future uses, look at the map.
Yes.
Good. Okay. Anything else on that?
Nope.
Thank you. Okay. 10?
Good comment on 10 with the letters.
Yeah. Thank you. LU 11? 12?
Yeah, Tom, the 12 might want to just update. I don't think there's 34 acres available anymore there in North Kelsey.
Actually, there is. You know, I should have brought, I have a couple of maps, one of vacant commercial ground and vacant industrial ground. And we did run some numbers in our own system, and there is 34 acres in North Castle. Now, that does include...
Is that the dump?
It includes Walmart, which is, God, how many acres?
I was thinking we should take that out, but if it needs to stay in, it needs to stay in. Since it's the most recent information, if that's not a done deal, it's sold, it's no longer available.
I would agree. Why not just update that to reflect 2013 current time? I mean, that's an easy enough one to have accurate.
Yeah. It is.
If Walmart's included in that, take it out.
Walmart's included in that. The landfill site is in that. There's a little more narrative about that later in the buildable land section. But you're right, that 34 should come down in the face of reality. You know, Walmart's, that land's gone.
Yeah.
Except for the corner pad, and there's a, I don't remember how many acres, the parcel to the north side of the Walmart development site. I think it's 7 acres.
The old public works site?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. And they will leave a pad on the southeast corner of the Walmart development. That would be the northeast corner of Tierney and Galaxy Way, is that what that is?
Yes.
The west line of Walmart property. Okay. That's a good one, thank you.
Anything else on 12? 13?
A couple of comments.
Commissioner Demarest?
First off, under the future vision issues in the middle of the page there, we talked about construction of access roads. We also, I think, should mention installation of utilities. I mean, it's not just for access roads that are going to need to go in there. You got to get sewer out there, you got to get water out there. And they're big issues. And we're going to talk about roads, let's talk about the rest of it.
Okay.
And then inserted text, I think that it would clarify if we just included in there, we'll likely include a separate roundabout, and that's the third line down in the red text. Mm-hmm. And then we get into the whole issue of the Eastern Gateway, which we don't have defined, we talked about earlier, and I think that's problematic. When we talk about gateway in here, and then we talk about community entryway and capture traffic that would bypass the city. I don't see how that first traffic circle coming in from the east is going to do that. I haven't been convinced on that. So I think this needs to be reworked. I don't know if others have thoughts on that.
I look at it a little bit different, that and it says that this is future vision and issues, but this is, that is an issue that needs to be resolved. Whether it's, we have a definition of gateway or whatever that means, it's still, in my mind, and I understand what you're saying, but in my mind, you're still, that to me is an issue. So somehow, I think it's okay to be in there.
It's not even supposed to be.
Commissioner Jensen.
I kind of extend, just to touch back to LU-12, I'm realizing there that it says, and this is under the existing, so by either current or past history, I assume we wouldn't be able to change past history now, but it says in there that it was annexed in 1970 as a means of protecting the city's scenic gateway, well, there's that word again, from the east, and he's used the word scenic gateway. So...
That's actually language from the current town.
Right. That's describing what the past was as to why it was annexed.
Right.
So if we keep talking about gateway, it seems to me like that purpose there was a scenic gateway, not a roundabout gateway or a commercial gateway.
At least it defined gateway.
Yeah, a little bit.
It's still scenic when Main Street is scenic, you know.
Yeah.
I think that...
Still scenic mountains, you're still entering the...
No, I just wonder if there was some... If what's being put here in the future is too... it doesn't seem like it meshes with what that initial intent was.
No, it doesn't.
And I don't know if that even can be, you know, we shouldn't go back and change the past. That's what the past was. It's just, it should be, I don't know if there's a way we can make this future, you know, adapt to what that plan was.
Well, I don't think we need to. I think we not need to. I think that things change. You know? Mm-hmm. This is what they planned in the past. The future plan is for the future. So,
Would it be inappropriate, or would it be appropriate to have in here when we talk about in the second paragraph at the very end, it talks about the sanitary sewer and water are not currently provided to this area, but may be extended to the property. Would it be appropriate to say that that would not be the city's task to do that? It might be open for an independent developer to do that, but not the city doing that? Is that something appropriate for this type of document?
It certainly wouldn't hurt my mind to qualify that statement, because it kind of leaves it open-ended that the city could extend
the
services
responsible
in the interest of expanding growth in the city. I think that maybe we should qualify that by private developer or some such words.
It is another issue. So I agree.
So even if you just have it to say maybe extended to the property by private
enterprise or whatever.
Or you know, actually since this is existing conditions,
that might be
maybe it should stop at or not currently provided to this area. Period.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then future is going to gets back to your comment, Dave, about including utilities like sewer and water in the future mission.
That
statement reaches from existing to future, and that may be extended to the property.
But yeah, I'd like to, if that's the case, still include
then
something that says
really bring
city's
out.
Not doing it themselves.
Right. Yeah. Bring that out in the future paragraph.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Anything else on 13?
I just would appreciate, I think, some further effort on staff's part to wordsmith that area as far as how the two potential roundabouts could be envisioned as doing this. I think the most accurate statement it makes is that it's going to slow traffic down.
the eastern circle is, let's say, really not a gateway function.
Well,
the second one, the western one could be.
Yes.
In that city.
Completely agree with that.
But the one that East Monroe is, you're entering into the city, but you're still a quarter mile away from the city.
You're kicked out as quickly as you went in.
Yeah. I did pull up the definition of gateway.
It's a door to
reference a gate, which of course is not correct, but number three was any passage by or point at which a region may be entered.
That is always my understanding.
That's leaving on terms.
Paul, if we take your logic to the next step, this section shouldn't have any discussion of gateway at all. Because this section is talking about the property that's going to be east of the roundabout that provides the access to the city.
Well, that's true.
That's right.
That's true. I hadn't thought about it that way.
Yeah, we've heard from the economic development manager, we've heard from the applicant, that this property out there has potential to be the gateway to the city. And I don't see it. I just think this paragraph needs some work.
You know, the gateway really happens, it doesn't happen until you get to East Main and Highway 2. that's where the gateway really, that's where you haven't penetrated very far. But that gateway, what do you call it? That gateway area really needs to extend out to that roundabout at the bypass, because that's the first point that where you're making a change in direction, traffic or revision. So it's making an announcement. This is a key point in the traffic flow, so it also becomes a key point in the entry, your right of your ritual of entry into the city.
Yes, exactly.
Gateway, my mind does two things. It announces the place to visitors, and it announces to residents that, you know, welcome home. But it's also got to be memorable so that it brings people back.
Okay. Would it be appropriate to put in here, not as part of that property itself, but a description of that US 2 roundabout that we would might think of as a gateway? Put that in here as a described gateway? I guess the roundabout that would be west of this property?
No, because this paragraph has to do with Eastern City Limits as to Woodmont Ridge area, which is that East Monroe property.
It's really more appropriate to the, well, if it's E, Eastern Commercial Area, and the downtown kind of Indian conjunction. I mean, on the map, it's just kind of tucks right into that.
But it's D.
Is it called D? It's beyond.
The bottom line is after you pass D.
Right.
Yeah.
It is definitely past D.
Yeah.
So it needs to go maybe into the next section, the Eastern Commercial area. Does downtown follow? No, it does not.
And just an FYI, in the city of Chicago, O'Hare Airport, it's called the Gateway to Chicago. O'Hare Airport is an island. It's part of the city of Chicago, but it's an island way outside the city.
Miles.
Nobody wants to. But it is part of the city of Chicago. It's called the Gateway to the City of Chicago.
Roughest runway in the world.
Just an FYI.
Well, Monroe is the gateway to the Cascades. That's part of the tag for Monroe.
So they can use that word pretty loosely, I think. Yeah. Anything else on 13?
I was just trying to figure out where we would put that, a description of that, not the access roundabout, but the bypass roundabout, I'll call it that way. The bypass roundabout.
But it's not part of this.
I'm trying to remember which block it would go in.
It's not in any block.
Sure.
It's not a developed. It's not part of it. According to this map, it's not part of any developed.
Okay. Okay, I just wonder if it should be.
We won't see it.
Commissioner Demmer.
It goes to the comments previous that it really belongs in the 2015 update as probably a separate component of this document.
Okay.
Paul, would that make sense?
Yeah, it does. We've talked about a community design kind of element in that comp plan for things like this. Okay, why don't we can flush out some of that gateway language, well, especially with, in terms of
the movement.
Mm-hmm. And limit it more to the roundabout and the traffic flow and so forth.
Yeah, kind
of. More simplification.
Yeah. 13, anymore? Okay. 14? 15? I have a comment on 15. Evergreen Fairgrounds area, the paragraph future visions and issues. The last sentence in that paragraph says pedestrian access will also need to be improved along US 2 to better service overflow parking and pedestrian access to the city. To me, I stumbled on that sentence and I thought maybe it could be worded a little bit better. I'm not sure exactly how, but maybe it's just that too much pedestrian access in two different places there, and I just stumbled on it. It's just a comment. You can take it for what it's worth, but...
Maybe it could be like foot traffic to the city instead of, if you don't like the level pedestrian.
It seems to me it could be
worth it. Yeah, I'll see if I can.
Commissioner Demers?
Smooth that.
The objective, I think, was the issue of connectivity between the fairgrounds and the rest of the city.
Right.
And that's what we need to try to get at. That's why it's circling back, I think, in the language of pedestrian access to the fairgrounds and back to the city as well. So, because I think you're right, it needs some work.
Yeah, I do, too.
Unit was just across the street to the motel from the fairgrounds. What's the name of that motel on Highway 2?
The Fairgrounds Inn.
Anything else? 16?
Yeah, the last sentence above the map, it says outlying use zones have little or effect. So it's either little effect or little or no effect on development.
Okay. So little or no. That would be that zone 6A, 6B.
On 16, just wanted to ask, do we need to include any reference that there are, I don't know if the land was sold, I know it was for sale for a while, would that have any bearing on this document?
First Airfield? Uh-huh. It has not sold. There was a comp plan amendment last year. No, I don't believe that. In fact, I have a question whether that map even needs to be there. It outlines these zones, but it doesn't say much about them. And I wonder if that map should just come out. And refer to the municipal code.
I have no feelings about it one way or the other.
You could just refer to the MMC such and such.
Right? Yeah.
Which has a map in it.
Yeah, it would be useful if there was more language in the comp plan, but that language is really more, you know, like about the zone, but that's more suited to the municipal code, not the comp plan.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll clean it up a bit. Hmm.
Okay, 17. 18.
One sec. Are we good with the 2,500 inmate count? That's the best information we have right now. And, very
yes, okay. It is right around 2,500. I think a little bit less.
Okay. Thank you.
It's fairly stable.
Okay. I have a question. When it says levels ranging from close to minimum, what does that mean?
Where are you at?
Oh, at the Murrumburra Correctional Complex, right above the 2,500
male inmate
number.
Oh. That's a good question.
Close. Close to minimum. Close.
Close isn't much of a range.
I think custody levels from, I know it's maximum.
Yes. They have, well, I know they have.
They have
several
special
different
offenders
units.
Is the highest.
Okay, let me clarify that.
And then while you're at it, the future vision and issues with that, there's some linguistic issues and problems there. After limited facility expansions,
it's
facilities.
I see. That is a, yeah, that's a carryover too. And that's
yeah,
that's an odd.
You'd probably
okay.
Pick it up eventually.
Still sound awkward working there.
Right.
I'm glad you folks are catching some of those things because I've missed them.
I was curious about the range, so.
Right. That shouldn't sound right.
Should
have been
firing me?
Close.
Anything else on 17?
Close.
Close of the death gene.
Yeah.
18?
18. On the future vision issues, second paragraph, traffic on the out there says improvements maybe in the future for particularly west of 177 to accommodate truck traffic and so on. I live out there. Where's 177?
Is it 171st? What's the street Cabin turns off?
I think that's 177.
That's
177. In fact, just this past week, engineering staff here put together a concept plan for a roadway from 177th west to Tester.
Well, they're saying it's a reformatory road, and isn't that 176?
You mean you talked about that in the last meeting?
Right.
Behind the high school.
I want you to remember who proposed that about 25 years ago.
You wanted to go all the way to 203 with it, right?
Huh?
You wanted to go all the way to 203 with it.
Yeah, well, eventually, yeah.
Is 177 the winding way, or is it reformatory road? Because up above it says it's reformatory road.
The same kind of road.
Just like
I think it's one of the same.
Academy Way and Reformatory Road are the same.
Oh, no, they're not the same. You're right.
So if we're saying it's Academy Way, then it's not Reformatory Road.
Oh, I see.
Okay. I thought Reformatory Road was 176, though. I'm not positive. But I feel like when I deliver up there, that's the address.
Okay, I'll clean that up.
Really?
Anything else on 18?
Yeah, on the second paragraph, future vision and issues, it says West Main Corridor into a vibrant gateway neighborhood.
Really?
It could be a vibrant neighborhood. Doesn't mean it's a gateway.
We like putting gateway everywhere. It's like an Easter egg hunt.
It's in the first paragraph.
Oh.
You didn't get a gateway.
Yeah. Okay.
Somebody liked that word.
It must have been that when they did that study where they had someone to fire town or something. Unless it was in a gateway in a lot of places.
The prison's actually a gateway.
Okay, 19.
Synergy of
development. Yeah. Weird word.
Commissioner Demers.
In the paragraph under natural environment, the second part of that second line, soils, plants, and animals, I think it should say, all of which are affected by human activity. Saying all of these systems are affected, it's
awkward.
Yeah, illogical.
Yeah.
And then moving down that page to the second paragraph from the bottom, an environmental consulting firm assists with existing regulations review to address any deficiencies in the draft new regulations. Kind of a nonsensical sort of statement. Not sure what we're trying to say there. I think you might want to look at that.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
That's all I had on that.
I'll talk to the author about that. The author is not here.
Is that Melissa?
And actually, that's probably a lot cleaner. I remember this paragraph. That's a lot cleaner than what used to be in there.
Well, it could still be.
It was about twice as bad. So we're going to reduce it by half again.
Well, Melissa's not here, so we can blame a lot.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
I can't say anything bad about Melissa.
Okay, anything else on 19? 20?
21?
On 20, where are these LEU figures?
Oh, they're in the...
There's
a separate attachment.
Oh!
This one, the map.
Because LEU3 was in here, so...
Right.
I wasn't sure.
Okay,
there we go.
Oops.
That's right.
Yeah. fact, I need to find a good place to put this future land use plan, the comprehensive plan, in this text. I'm not even sure we refer to it explicitly in the narrative. And the on that subject, the next, the update for 2015 will include an existing land use map in this section. That was something we were going to do for this update, but we just haven't gotten to it. But so that you, it defines what's existing now, so you can compare that as a basis to what it's envisioned to be in the future land use in the comprehensive plan map.
Commissioner Demarest?
Page 20, profile planning area, the 30 cents from the bottom of that first paragraph, and maybe Commissioner Sherwood can respond to this too, but I didn't really know that Monroe had an aquifer system formally. Is this an accurate statement in here, Jeff?
Yes.
It is. Okay.
There's a variety of aquifers, basal and perch.
Okay. And then my other comment on the third paragraph under that section, the middle line, which flows into the Snoqualmie River to form the Snohomish River just west of the city. It's more accurately southwest of the city.
Okay.
Just west of the city would put us in the Snohomish floodplain.
And it coalesces with, it does not remain to us.
The, on the aquifer, in the map appendix figure four, is a aquifer sensitivity map, it's called. It's like depth of anywhere from 0 to 40 feet to over 100 foot to different aquifers. They're in DR.
I don't doubt that there's aquifers, but water that's at the 5 foot level, that's not an aquifer. Is it technically? It is, okay. Even if the lake surface is still considered? Okay, thank you. That's all I have on 20.
Okay. 21?
Yeah, down at the bottom, this is a question I asked before. However, these maps have not gone into effect due to concerns about on the floodplain delineation paragraph. I thought I either heard or read somewhere that the city of Monroe had adopted the DFIRM maps. And I need to know if that's true or not true. It was an oddity that the city would have done that, but indeed they have. So do you know for a fact, Paul, if we have adopted the DFIRM maps?
So we're saying that the last adoption was the 1999, and we've adopted nothing since, we've not adopted any mapping since then.
Because I thought part of the East Monroe thing, assuming the DFIRM maps were correct, as a conservative assumption, may have flowed from some decision on the city's part to adopt the DFIRM maps, at least as a policy decision or something of that nature. So we have not done that.
I don't know if there is a policy on what's going to be done with that. But on the EIS, the decision was made to take the worst case for environmental impact analysis, which is, of course, the entire property in the 100-year floodplain.
Thank you.
I don't think that the floodplain map is accurate anyway. I've seen part of it, and Wagner Hill was considered floodplain. Wagner Hill is about 300 feet. It's not that.
Commissioner Demarest?
In the paragraph on that page is two above the floodplain delineation. It says wetlands are also associated with the headwaters and riparian corridor of Woods Creek or its tributaries, French Creek, and associated floodplains of the Skagit River. A question perhaps for Jeff.
headwaters accurate? We're talking about wetlands in the city of Monroe as they relate to Woods Creek.
I mean, it could be. Yeah. Some of the headwaters of Woods Creek, for instance, you go up
Richardson Creek.
Look at the old well site up there, mm-hmm. off of Ingram Road, for instance. Those would be headwaters of Woods Creek, and they could be location of riparian quarters.
But that would be Richards. That would be Richards Creek.
What about the? So we've got French Creek, which would include Cripple Creek, and then it seems to me that we should also include in here associated floodplains of the Skykomish and Snohomish rivers. We're not mentioning the Snohomish floodplain, but we're talking about the Skykomish floodplain. Certainly, the Snohomish floodplain comes up into the city on the west side. So would that be more accurate, Jeff?
To the bridge.
I'm sorry?
Snohomish River comes
up. I'm talking about the Snohomish floodplain. It comes all the way to Frylands Boulevard.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, right.
That's right.
So I think we should be mentioning the Snohomish floodplain in there as well.
Certainly, some of the floodplain does come across the border between the city and the county. So,
but Lake ties in the Snohomish floodplain.
Yeah, the Skykomish and Snohomish River.
Right.
Okay.
Line 21? 22?
I have a couple of things.
Okay.
Says in the 1, 2, 3, 4 paragraph down that the city built Lake Ty. The city didn't build Lake Ty. The private sector built Lake Ty.
I mean, Bud Welcome did it in Cabin Hall.
Right, yep. It was done in association with where Fridays developed. And then let's see. Talks about improvements footnotes. The paragraph above that, the areas located within the 100-year floodplain are lowlands immediately adjacent to the Skykomish River and Woods Creek. A lake ties in the 100-year floodplain. The block plants within the 100-year floodplain. And that 100-year floodplain, I believe, extends up along the railroad tracks there, north of the YMCA, along that drainage ditch. And it gets all the way back to the old industrial park.
That's okay. A long way from
there. Is it 500?
I'm not sure the berm, but...
Because I know that we've certainly seen the water affected there. And the river's been all the way, or the flood's been all the way, almost to 500 Boulevard. So just something to check on there, perhaps, Paul. Okay. And this next one's really minor, under fish and wildlife habitat. Wasn't there also Sitka spruce in this valley here, Jeff? We talked about pine maple cedar, Douglas fir.
There's a little bit of it, but more dominant would be western hemlock.
That's all I have in 22.
Anything else in 22? 23?
One comment.
Commissioner Demarest?
The second full paragraph. We mentioned Skykomish River. We mentioned Woods Creek. Should we not also be mentioning French Creek? Or is it because it's not included in the shoreline's management plan?
I don't know that it's included.
The inventory. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I can accept that. Yeah, see if it's if it is included.
24.
Yeah.
Commissioner Demarest?
Second paragraph. The description of the plains, and that sentence that starts out in the second paragraph, this plain rises from about 30 feet along the river to 100 feet around Washington State Reformatory Bald Hill and the bluffs north of State Route 2. And the plateau rises abruptly from the valley to an elevation 200, 300 feet. It seems awkward. It seems like it could be better described. Again, Jeff, if you have any thoughts on that? I feel like we're bouncing all over the place there.
Yeah. Larry, it's pretty wordy.
And then
probably just too much detail.
At the end of that paragraph, steep slopes frame the eastern edge of Reformatory Hill and further distinguish the Ribmont Heights area. I would say Ribmont Heights and Calhoun Road area, because certainly that feature extends well beyond Ribmont Heights. And then my last comment on that page, the bottom paragraph, when we talk about potential geological hazards to development in the Milwaukee Hill area, don't they also exist in East Monroe?
Don't they also what?
Exist in East Monroe along that bluff?
Maybe not in the same way as the, I'm not familiar with just what the factors are in Milwaukee Hill, but the East Monroe is more related to subsidence, sloughing of the hillside from mostly from the development that exists above.
When I can't think of any of that sort of activity on Milwaukee Hill, down along Ridmont and Calhoun.
I guess it's probably mostly about steep slopes.
Right.
Commissioner Sherwood just offered to rewrite this whole thing.
I don't think we got it on recording.
It's a little obtuse.
Yeah.
That first sentence is. Yeah. We'll just work.
You say on 24?
25? Go ahead. I found a conflict on 25 and 26. So I'll wait till 26 and then refer back to that. I don't have anything else on 25.
26? Thanks for doing that.
The very first paragraph talks about the downtown is settled in the ancient sediments of the Skycomish River. It's very deep, moderately well-drained, et cetera, et cetera. But on the prior page, we say that we have glacial till, recessional outwash, and younger alluvium. Seems to me that we're mixing up younger alluvium and ancient sediments of the Skycomish River.
Where are you on page 25?
On 25, I'm in the big paragraph in the middle, at the end of the second line. We have three geological types present. Glacial till, recessional outwash, and younger alluvium. And then on the next page, we introduce ancient sediments of the Skycomish River.
Well, that's technically true.
The ancient sediments.
Sediments.
So is that the same as younger alluvium?
No.
I didn't think so.
Well, the younger alluvium deposits would have come after the ancient sediments, right?
The younger alluvium would be in primarily in the active floodplains.
Which the downtown Monroe area is not.
Is not. So therefore it would be older.
So it's really the fourth category of
would be earth salts versus insect salts.
But now you get a little complex.
So there's the difference.
So I think consistency is what I'm trying to get at. And then my other comment on that page is the third paragraph. Soils within the Milwaukee Hill subarea are moderately well drained. And yet on the previous page we talked about those areas being glacial till, which are not moderately well drained.
Well, glacial till is mostly all of the soils were considered moderately well drained.
Even those glacial till?
Yeah. Depends on whether you're convex or concave microtopographies.
Okay, it didn't seem to me that we talk about moderately well drained soils and then say they act as a hard band to inhibit infiltration. It's contradictory, it seems.
in the, where this is probably coming from is they're probably parroting the soil survey where the Alderwood soil, which is the dominant soil up there, is called moderately well there. If you have enormous soil in there, it would be poorly prepared. And that would be on the concave areas.
Are you satisfied with the way it's written?
I'm not rewriting the thing from scratch.
I'm trying to ascertain what
does this contribute to the comprehensive plan? I see where, you know, it's very descriptive.
Yeah.
It's poorly descriptive, but at least it's descriptive.
So the description gets us in trouble.
So I would actually volunteer to rewrite this in a way that may be a little more concise and accurate.
You're just talking
the soil section. Just the whole, this whole thing we're doing, this natural element.
It is, one of my concerns with it, didn't have time to do, was that it is still getting into an awful lot of detail.
And I would reduce the amount of detail.
And as you say, it's somewhat, not only too much detail, but not very well written. And without some further editing.
You could probably say most of this in a couple pages.
Instead of six.
Why don't I send you a Word document.
Okay.
And you can use blue on your revisions.
Say thank you.
Actually, Jeff, what I'll do is I'll excerpt this out and accept all the changes. You got clean text to start with. You know, of all of this.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you.
Good job.
Okay, so what page do I jump to now?
7.
27?
I had a note down here. I was working off the clean text on the board. Just to make sure that there was a clear correlation of the table numbers with the text. And it seemed to me, at least in the clean version, which I assume is on the red line version, that there's some inconsistency because we have LU84, LU9, LU1, and then we seem to have some sort of a numbering system there. But I found some inconsistencies between the references to the tables and the way the tables were actually labeled.
Ooh, right.
I don't think they start their own numbers.
I think that LU84 is probably supposed to be 8. I think there's an extra 4 there.
So. Well, just so that it's, you know, they've correlated.
Right, right.
And Paul, that doesn't quite fix it. We go 8, 9, and 1.
Well, but 1 is a table.
Oh, figures versus table.
It's a table.
It's a table.
Yeah. I have a comment on 28. I would like to see, in the paragraph, the first, make sure it's the first full paragraph on that page, at the bottom of the figure, LU84. At the end of that, it says the total population does not include 2,500 mates. That's a Monroe Correctional Complex. But it still would be nice to know what year that population was added in.
Oh, okay.
It does say that in another place.
In another place?
Yeah, on the LU27, the bottom paragraph says the single largest increase in population occurred in 1996 when the Monroe Correctional Complex was annexed into the city.
Okay.
Now, so maybe it does include it at some point.
And that was with 1,700 residents. 96. So that would show up in the, well, 95, 96. No, it jumps from 6480 to 8670. And
I was just trying to correlate when that population was jumped in on this graph, that's all.
I think what might be helpful would be to
put a marker on the ground.
Put a call out this 8670 if that's the right number. Is that that includes inmates, or we'll put a footnote or something to make that a little clearer.
That was the only comment I had.
Yeah, I'll bet that's got to be it, because it went from 6,500 to 8,700. And 1,700 of that would have been inmates.
Yeah. Okay, good. Okay. 29? 30? 31?
Let's see.
There's 28 on the plain text, so I'm asking LU2. It's 30. The 30, yeah. The first paragraph under that table, the average density, we've talked about this before, is 4 units per acre based on 5572, 2254 acres. The math doesn't work there, so there's either the math was wrong or there needs to be a little more explanation. Because if you divide 5572 by 2254, you don't get 4.
Okay.
So,
one of those
how do you want to write it just so it's clear, you know, the point?
Okay.
Good catch.
Close. Okay, I'll take that one.
32. I think we talked about
it
earlier, Paul, right?
Yes.
The tables and such. 33. 34.
The paragraph below the table talks about 34 acres in North Kelsey, so we'll change that to be consistent with the North Kelsey area description. So taking out Walmart and so forth.
In page 34, table LU6, the 1808, I just want to make sure that's consistent with what's in the land use element, because there's a bunch of numbers bouncing around.
This is the land use element.
And then the housing element.
Okay.
Just so that if someone sees both documents, they aren't seeing two different numbers.
So I know last time there was a definitely an inconsistency between land use and housing, and I think we got that fixed, but we'll find out.
35.
I'm just question maybe doesn't exist. In the previous pages we talked about population expected growth and then expected capacity and so forth. Is there anything similar with this commercial and industrial as far as here's what's available and here's what we predict we're going to need? That doesn't.
There's a general discussion of the employment forecast in terms of number of employees, and there's a couple of missing numbers in there.
Is it just based off of employees, or is it based off of commercial? I'm thinking, you know, like shopping and whatnot as well. Is there any, so I wonder if it would be more than just employment.
Economic development gets into that, Paul, do you think?
Yeah, we do have some data that breaks it down by sector, breaks it down in detail by sector. That's based on 2011 data. That's some of the material that needs to be brought into the economic development.
And it talks about the relationship between residents and jobs. And I think maybe it's going toward what you asked about.
Yeah, I guess I sort of expected to see a similar table that sort of would demonstrate if we had a deficiency or a surplus projected in these commercial and industrial, just like you did with the residential stuff.
Yeah, it lives on the same level of B2.
It's discussed broadly.
It's very broad.
There's two table LU7s. One of them 33 is a clean text, and one of them 32. So those just need to be
right.
In the references. The general commercial at 57.7 acres, that needs to take the Walmart out of there.
Right.
Under general industrial, it went from 8 acres, which I assume is, you know, strictly the lakeside facility, to 0 acres.
General.
Are we eliminating the general industrial designation?
Oh, this is vacant.
It's available land. Because quite a bit of the lakeside facility consisted of a 10-acre, give or take, 9 or 10-acre gravel pit that the county used to own. They bought that. The city bought that and added a couple acres of industrial land so that they could relocate, so they could get them off the Walmart site. So it's quite a bit of vacant land on the lakeside facility. But, you know, it's all under control. So that's...
Okay. That would be, well, that'd be an example of like a redevelopable, I guess, for that there could be additional capacity.
There's a lot of room there.
In the lakeside property, and that maybe, that's probably picked up in the employment capacity, because it, you know, what it comes down to is that, at least according to the studies, that Monroe does have sufficient employment capacity, which on the surface doesn't sound right. But, you know, we do have a fair amount of commercial land. We don't have much industrial land, which is going to have generate a lot more employees.
I think lakeside would move in a heartbeat if it made sense. They spent $6 million to buy AAA diorite a few years ago. And I think they would move up there if they could. But they may be there for a while, you know, because they're just so invested.
I don't really mess with that.
Okay, any more on 35? Thirty-seven. Thirty-eight.
Sure, I have a comment on 38. As I read 38, it totally negates the need for East Monroe and shoots the argument that we need additional commercial land. And is that what we wanted to do?
There was quite a bit of disinformation concerning the supply of commercial land along Route 2 during the East Monroe discussion. There's virtually no land available for development on State Route 2 corridor. So the statements that were made by some people who testified were false in that regard. And actually, the facts support the need for people to be on a 30, 40, 50,000 car per day corridor versus a secondary retail area like North Kelsey. So I think we just need to be careful that there was a lot of disinformation that was put out there in that regard.
Perhaps this should be expanded in that regard about call it, I'll call it Class A commercial space on the, in the Highway 2 corridor is very limited. What's the right term for that?
The difference is this. We sold Walmart for what, $9-$10 a square foot? The last piece that was purchased on Route 2, where the donut shop is, they paid $60 a square foot. Effective price. Six times as much.
Yeah. Difference of scale was also a difference of location.
But even, you know, you take a small piece in North Kelsey, it's not going to sell for a fraction of what people are obviously willing to pay along that corridor. So,
it's
two different issues.
And it's interesting, too. I mean, I know we're not going to get into the economic development element tonight, but something I saw that was really striking there was the section that talked about the jobs housing balance. How we don't have enough houses to support, how did it go? The number of jobs in Monroe is going down per house. It was 1.9 in the late 80s. It went down to, let's see, Seattle's about one job per household. We're currently at 0.65 jobs per household. Now this data may be old. And the reason for this significant change is due to the residential growth Monroe's experienced in the past 10 years. And it goes on to say that what we're going to see is more residential growth, not more commercial growth, to get that ratio back into balance. There's conflicts here. It's not making sense.
Well, I can see where there has been, let's say over the past 15 years, a lot more residential growth than maybe 20 years than employment-related growth. When was the Frylands Industrial Park virtually built out? What, at least 10 years ago, 15 years ago?
Well, the original Monroe Valley Industrial Park, three divisions are, you know, long gone. There's a few vacant or undeveloped pieces, and there's half a dozen parcels in the Frylands Industrial Park, the more recent one, that are still available. But there's been virtually no new construction probably in 8-10 years, something like that. I think those gateway buildings, were on Frylands Boulevard, that's what they call them, were built. I think that was the last bunch of buildings that were,
you know, recall when the Tonkin building was built?
That was one of the first.
Now Natural Factors?
That is 15 to 20 years old. Cirque's been around that long, I think.
15, maybe, not 20.
Caterpillar building out there was built. 2 years ago.
I think, yeah, that was probably the most recent one there. That took up one of the pieces. So, we're running out of industrial land. And speaking to keeping the balance of that job per house number, we don't have leakage out of the community of substantial spending power.
And industrial does it a whole lot more than the commercial.
I suppose. Because when the commercial jobs go out, you have a lot of houses and people work somewhere else.
Right.
They're taking their money with them, at least some of their money with them. If they're working here, the money stays in town. But
can we continue on with this document? It's all good information.
I thought it was a dark night.
Okay. Any more on 38?
No.
Paul, I think you understood what the comments on.
Yes, I think so.
Okay. 39?
I have a question on NEP 2.4. Evaluate the downstream impacts due to increased runoff volumes.
NEP 2.4.
Oh, you're on page 40.
Oh, I'm sorry, did we get ahead of us?
Yeah. We got the flash.
Is this a reasonable policy? Jeff, you need to get some expertise in this area.
Technically, we don't have increased runoff volumes because we're managing our stormwater. So, it may be nonsensical in that context. I think the downstream people will talk to us if there's a problem.
Okay, so it's, maybe it's not a big issue either way.
I don't think so.
The other question I had here was 2.6, two sections down. Allow offsite wetland and flood control mitigation when there's an equivalent benefit to the affected basin, no significant adverse impact to the adjacent properties.
That's pretty broad.
Everything.
That's not about Academy Holdings.
Understand. Everything, for instance, in the city of Monroe is in the Snohomish Basin. Is that how broad we want this to be? Or how broad it should be?
Yeah.
So,
you see, one of our goals is to concentrate development within the city limits, right? Mm-hmm. In that perspective, if someone says, hey, listen, I want to fill 2 acres of wetlands so I can have more comprehensive and consistent development, then they can go down to Academy Holdings, buy a couple of wetland credits, and do the deal. And so that's consistent.
And I'm not an earth scientist, I'm not a hydrologist. I continually wonder how buying those credits down there in a floodplain that's probably going to be having water in it in the wintertime compensates equally to a 2 acre wetland up on the hill.
You can't grow salmon in a 2 acre wetland up on the hill.
And I'm not sure I understand the rationale here.
Yeah. I'll discuss it with you later.
It's also a multiplier
system
amount of mitigation required for each acre of impacted land. Now, is this the...
So, I would read this as being one-to-one, is it? Equivalent benefit? Or is that defined somewhere else?
Equivalent benefit. My thing is that this is in regards to, like, you don't take drainage from one watershed and put it into another.
Well, shoot, everything, you know, everything in Snohomish King County is in the Puget Sound watershed, right? Where do you draw the line?
Well, some watershed. But that I don't buy credits for land in King County to offset my impacts in Snohomish County. That's the way I'm reading this.
No, let's see. I don't know.
It's tied into the WRIA wetland resource inventory areas. And so, as far as where your mitigation needs to occur.
I just raise it as a question. I'm not an expert in the area. I have nothing else on that page.
Good. I think there's a lot of these policies may or may not have anything to do with the goals with that goal. I get confused about it, so.
I would hope they have something to do with goals.
I understand that, but if you read the goal and then you read some of the policies, you know, I get mixed up as, do these really pertain to that particular goal?
I agree, and I think that, you know, as a planning commission, we can speak to the consultant when that point in time comes to say, let's tighten this up a little bit. So this is pretty amorphous.
Yeah. But it's all being proposed for inclusion at this point.
Right.
So right. I think we need to be cautious in what we charge forward with.
Right. But I'm just making a statement. You made a statement, I made a statement. Be on record. Okay, page 41, 42.
Actually, I got one in 41, just reading 3.3. I think the entire first sentence could come out of that. The first part of it is stating a fact, not a policy. The policy is in the second sentence. It says Monroe recognizes the listing of all these things and that we should continue to recover, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah.
That's kind of what I'm saying with some of the other other things here. It's just, I'll leave it there.
We'll do some more words.
Okay. 42, 43, Commissioner Demarest?
Just a question on wells. Are we sure that the only wells we have are in the Manila Field area?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, not city wells, but wells, period.
Oh, well,
private wells.
What about Robin Hood?
I don't think so. No. Well, you're right. I think it's most of it is.
Robin is served by Roosevelt Water Association.
There are lake and wells up in Milwaukee Hill.
Moses
Water Area is over there.
And
water.
Woods Creek, Woods Creek.
Yeah. Well, why don't we just take the reference to Milwaukee Hill out, and that takes care of the concern. And then it addresses any wells that happen to be in the city or the Arizona.
Yeah.
Okay.
Until something
that works. Anything else on 43?
No. 44? Oh, did I jump back to 43? Sorry. Under noise and light. Goal to protect the dark night skies in Monroe. Are they really that dark with our prison go by?
It should be, well, the real term is dark sky, not dark night sky, but dark sky being trying to
rain.
Control
reduce
rain and light pollution.
Right, right. Reduce ambient light.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I'll leave that one. 44, 45.
I think the rest of them, I mean, to get any comments, the rest of them have been revised for some time.
Yeah.
But there may be things in there that still need to be tweaked.
I have one person here that I can't sit here any longer.
I gotta go.
My back is not liking here.
What is it, pushing 11 o'clock?
I'm requesting that we call it a night to continue this next session. Commissioners, anybody have a problem with that?
Wayne already moved to adjourn.
Before we go to adjourn, can we pull the calendar back up on the screen so we look at that?
Can we put the calendar back up?
Calendar?
Yes.
Oh, the schedule?
The schedule.
Yeah.
We need to meet more and more schedule before we have to take that action. Or do we have to
pull the schedule? Which is
the 20th. The
20th.
Either the 21st or around the 4th. I think we're going to need one more meeting in between.
Well, an additional meeting.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
Yeah, I think so too.
But we got to just decide which one it's going to be.
When?
Do what?
Say the dates again. What dates?
What are you talking about?
We have
21st or 4th of November.
Well, it'll be either the 21st or the November 4th. Is that what you just said? November 4th? Yeah.
I would think the 21st would be better simply because it will give you more time to get ready for the 11th when we have the public hearings.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too, is that, you know, we bring back land use change, and we can talk about housing on the 21st, and maybe get some economic development going too. We spend a lot less time on land use, more time on housing, and maybe on economic development.
Yeah. And going through page by page, this is good for you.
I think so, yeah. Okay. I think so, yeah. I've got some chasing to do on schools, and we won't get back to school until the 28th.
I think, personally, I think it was an awesome job to get to the point to where we could go through it page by page, and it wasn't, you know, free for all. You know, we had specific things that, you know.
And it helps to have more or less complete chapters.
Yeah.
So we're talking about two more workshops before the public hearing then.
That's what it sounds like.
21st?
21st.
I guess that leaves us the 4th if all else fails and we need yet another one.
Yeah, but the 4th gets you really too close to the public hearing for planning guys to get ready for that.
If we were just not making it, how soon, like we said, you had to put the public hearing back 1 week. How soon would that decision have to be made?
The public hearing? Let's see. Well, we need to send a notice to the paper this week for November 11th. I mean, it's like a 3-week lead time.
It's that
fluke I'm talking about.
Yeah.
14 days versus 15 days, and unfortunately, the commission takes a week plus longer to notice than the council does for a public hearing because of the Monday versus Tuesday.
Okay.
But,
so we're calling it the 21st?
Yes, for October.
Next week?
21st and...
For a workshop?
Yeah, 21st and then the 28th.
And I'm going to check into the issue of the 11th. And if the 11th doesn't work, then I guess we could hold a public hearing on the 17th?
The 18th.
18th, whatever that is.
Yeah.
In lieu of a meeting on the 11th. I know last year it was the whole thing was kind of pushed, but it was April 23rd. I remember the date.
Yeah.
Public hearing recommendation.
Boom, boom. Yeah.
Boom, boom. Yeah. Too fast.
Commissioner Demarest?
With East Monroe, school mitigation, housing, land use, and economic development being the content of our public hearing, and recognizing that East Monroe and probably school mitigation are both going to attract a fair bit of attention. Do we really think we can get that all done in 1 night?
Yeah. And we need to hold hearing for all three. You mean the public hearing or
the public hearing?
Yeah.
On all. Well, there's really five topics.
Well, if you split it out, there's really five. If you split into the text amendments, I don't think text amendments is going to raise much of a input from anyone.
Yeah, but East Monroe and the school
will.
Yes.
But in the past, you know, the East Monroe public testimony has been pretty minimal. I've been surprised at commission meetings and how little there has been. Even at the public hearing, we only had six speakers for the draft EIS. My feeling is that the school issue may bring up a lot more comment and controversy than East Monroe at this point, based on the last couple of months. I could be wrong, but
it was last time. Was quite a few.
But much more last year.
Was it over capacity?
Was that into the lobby or was that council?
School mitigation?
School mitigation was here. Yes.
And it took a good bit of the evening, didn't it?
Yeah.
So it's a pretty aggressive schedule for one night, I think. And then we have our discussion, you can come back with recommendations, findings, and conclusions for the following week based on the discussion we have on those five topics.
If there's a necessity, can we continue the public hearing and have it extended to the 18th? If that becomes necessary or not?
If they're each an hour and a half, then it's 3 hours.
I have to check into that. I know we've extended public hearing in the past.
Right.
And I might look at sort of if there's a problem with noticing or publication. Obviously, we can't publish it in the paper ahead of time. But I think there is a means of continuing a public hearing, should we wish to do so, without having to worry about notice.
We've done it in the past.
Yeah.
There has to be.
I don't recall what the details of it were, but yes. So if we hold it on the 11th or the 18th, what would we continue it to? If we held it on the 18th, we continue it to the 25th.
And then recommend on the...
And
recommendation the same night.
Or the second.
We've done that before.
Or the second, yeah.
We've done recommendations same night at public hearing.
But we... got to have our findings and conclusions in order to base
that would need to be done.
Right.
Now, and I'm not going to wait until the very last recommendation meeting to bring forth findings and conclusions.
Right.
I mean, you need to have a draft of that at least at the meeting prior to the recommendation meeting.
Okay.
But you can't generate those until we have the public hearing.
Pardon me?
Right.
Until we get through the public hearing process. You can't generate the findings and conclusions prior to the hearing being done.
Yeah, it's cutting it close.
Oh, well.
Well, I sincerely appreciate your willingness to hold some more meetings, or whatever it's going to take to get through this. We are obviously running out of time.
Yeah. Okay, so it stands right now. We'll have a meeting on the 21st. 28th. Finish this up.
Yes. And we can, and you know, I'll check into the public hearing date and we can gauge the rest of the series on the, maybe on the 21st, see where we're at.
Okay.
I think 4 hours is about enough as anybody can take.
Yeah. Okay, we have a motion to adjourn. Commissioner Rodland, we have a motion to adjourn. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Seconded by Commissioner Dirksen. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?